At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo's Link, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. It's Gil Alexander. Jeff Parlay, producer number 5 and 8, is here as well. Jeff, are you good this morning? You just told me you walked into the song Ghostbusters blasting and still, what's going on here?
Yeah, when we go downstairs in the bottom of this great establishment here at the South Point,
yeah.
Sometimes some interesting things can occur when people are on breaks, and there was one of the offices blasting the song, just not the movie. They weren't saying anything about the movie, just classic song. Just blaring in their office for some reason.
Interesting. Huey Lewis sued Ray Parker Jr. back in the day. Had a song called I Want a New Drug. Then a year later, Ghostbusters came out. He sued him for infringement. Not sure if he won. We'll have to check on that. On the show today, WGC Match Play Golf, which begins tomorrow. The bracketology of golf, if you will. Super lucrative event. That's why all the big-time players want to play it. And Brady Cannon will join us to break it down. Groups of four, all kinds of ways to bet it, all kinds of ways to break it down. We'll get into it with Brady later on the show. Kai McKeon from Three Man Weave to talk college hoops with us as well. Dan Bespris on the NBA. Oh, I got tennis picks. We go from Indian Wells to Miami. Or as they used to say back in the day, apparently Miami in some cases. Didn't know that. Saw it on a college football thing. Got three plays on the ladies' side. Men are still in qualies today, but the ladies begin in earnest. So we got three plays coming up. And to talk about all kinds of things, NFL, NBA, tennis, who knows what else, joining us this Tuesday, as he does every Tuesday morning, when he can, from NBC Sports Bet the Edge podcast, and of course the Deep Dive podcast as well, at @Whale_Cappards. Drew Dinsick, how you doing, Drew?
I am well. Good morning, Gil. Best time of year to be in the sports betting biz. We have so much going on right now, and it is going to be an awesome remaining month of March, and then April, right into April. Just this time of year, where these 6 weeks are probably my favorite across the entire sports betting calendar.
It is, because most people cite March Madness and the Masters, but you and I would throw in, but Indian Wells and Miami, and there's stuff we do that most, trying to get people into the tent. Let us begin, though, with football, because football free agency and trading is front and center as well. And I'm just, you were on Primetime Action Friday night, I believe it was. It was after the, I want to say if it was before the Deshaun, no, it was after the Deshaun Watson trade. I want to say Friday night. Maybe we got the dates wrong. With March Madness, I can't figure out what day happened, happened what day. But you made a great comment, which I cited you yesterday on the show, about Deshaun Watson going to Cleveland. Could you just repeat those remarks as we show AFC North odds on the screen here?
Well, I guess the more I try to digest this, my opinion changes a little bit. So you'll have to remind me a bit if there was something key that I'm missing here. But at first glance. Number one, I don't love the fit with the system that's running there. But that said, I think it's probably unwise to overreact to system fit when you have a top five quarterback. You can elevate, and if you have a good enough system, which Stefanski I think does, you should be able to find a way to get that to work. But ultimately, it's still a very crowded AFC. That the balance of power, and I think a lot of other people have probably commented on this, but the balance of power continues to tilt in favor of the AFC. But for that reason, I think in general, there is a sense in my mind that the sort of the de-emphasis that we saw of the regular season that I felt like last year with the added 17th game and the competitiveness in the AFC, I feel like could be even more exacerbated this year. And that is just to say that, you know, that I don't know that anyone really is going to, you know, take the regular season as seriously as we used to see teams take it in years past to get that to get those top seeds, just because of how competitive things are. You know, it's likely, in my opinion, that the AFC teams are just going to beat up on each other. You're going to see, you know, just in general, teams efforting to stay healthy and to keep their nose sort of in the mix, and then you know, figure out if they can try to get hot towards the end of the season, carry a little bit of momentum into the playoffs. It felt like a lot of teams had that strategy last year, and obviously it worked out quite well for the likes of the Cincinnati Bengals. You know, heading into last season, I certainly thought that overall, you know, we same sort of situation where almost all the good coaches and quarterbacks were consolidated in the AFC. And for those reasons, if you wanted a long shot, you had to go shop around in the NFC. And it ended up working out exactly backwards. You know, a ton of that really will come down to, you know, who stays healthy and who catches the breaks towards the end of the season in the AFC. So I think ultimately, like, it definitely did not move the needle much for me on, you know, betting Browns, betting anything AFC at all. If anything, it made me just eyes popped in terms of, wow, there is absolutely no one now competing with the Bucks for the NFC South. And that price should probably be like minus 800 or something.
So that's kind of what I wanted to get at. By the way, the comment I was referring to was how you said it might not be a great fit because the Browns sort of identity is a running game. And now you've got this top five quarterback allegedly. And so maybe you have to, can the Browns sort of shift their identity to that? And you're sort of moved from that position a little bit. But the broader sense is the broader point is what you just said, which is the AFC is so stacked that, you know, oh, Russell Wilson's going, let's make a bet on Russell Wilson and the Broncos. Oh, now Deshaun Watson's going to Cleveland. Let's everybody run and make a bet on Deshaun Watson. The upshot ought to be, and I'll relate it to the LeBron James Cleveland Cavaliers years, right? Where it was like, okay, the Western Conference had all these teams and they would fight amongst each other. Whereas LeBron, through the just sheer will of LeBron, kind of had this real easy-ish path to get to the finals. Now, what happened in the finals is beside the point. But that your reaction to all of these players and all these key players going to the AFC, your reaction as a bettor, just first instinct, ought to be generally, not saying you shouldn't make any bets, but ought to be generally, maybe I shouldn't make as many bets in the AFC, and maybe the real value is on the very uncrowded NFC. Is that fair?
Yeah, 100%. And honestly, if you're going to put together a futures portfolio for an NFL, you want to try to catch best price available over the balance of the season for every team that you think has a realistic shot to win the Super Bowl. And as you sit here now and look at the board, you cannot tell me with sincerity that there is a price on the board that is so wrong that it is worth betting today for the AFC. And, you know, there with all of these teams will take licks. They will all have highs and lows over the balance of this now long 17 game season. And realistically, the idea that you can't catch a better price in season on basically every one of these teams that's a realistic contender, I find tough to buy into.
Yep.
And so if we even get to September and I'm like, yeah, I haven't placed an AFC future, I won't be surprised. because realistically, like, just like you could have caught the Chiefs at, you know, a pretty favorable price in around how last year, just like you could have caught the Bills when it looked like they may not even make the playoffs in November last year. You know, like, you can absolutely scoop prices in season that will beat whatever is available at this moment, I believe, at least in the AFC. And to the fit question, yeah, Deshaun Watson, of course, let's assume that he plays, what, 13 games?
Right.
You know, maybe he misses 4, 6, 8, who knows? But let's assume he plays the majority of the games this season. Kevin Stefanski's system is set up, number one, to be a relatively balanced attack between run and pass. It is, they have outstanding pass protection. But it still is, you know, Deshaun Watson is a guy that somewhat thrives out of structure. And it is not, to me at least, you don't have the weapons on the field that can really help exploit that. And, you know, it, in the same way that it's, you know, we're maybe nitpicking here because he is still clearly a top five talent and they ultimately will make it work. If you tell me that we get halfway through the Deshaun Watson in Cleveland experience and people are underwhelmed, I also won't be surprised.
No, I won't either.
Yeah. That doesn't mean that they won't figure it out by the time we get to January. But certainly, you know, it's going to be a lot different than what he had in Houston. And, you know, in Houston, he more or less got to shape the system. They built it around him, and they're going to have to pivot now on the fly and do the same thing in Cleveland.
Real quick, since we are talking here, just to point out a few bets, because I didn't want to just wipe everything off the table. But as we look at the AFC North odds, the Browns are the short shot, right? Based on the Deshaun news, they go to plus 150, the Ravens plus 210, and oh, by the way, the defending AFC champions who just picked up Lael Collins, right, really addressing, as they have been all offseason, their one huge weakness on offensive line. They're plus 240. Steelers, one of these things, not like the other, at 10-1. The Browns shouldn't be the short shot, right?
No, I think it's pretty flat. And I mean, I think I don't have any inside knowledge. I don't have any crystal ball that tells me how many games Deshaun Watson's ultimately going to play. But certainly the way that the contract is structured, the way that the general kind of zeitgeist is reacting to, the sexual assault allegations, I would not be surprised if the league comes down quite hard on him from a suspension standpoint. And, yep. What I'm pointing to about the contract, they gave him that 1 year, his base salary is $1 million. So a suspension is basically still going to be a slap on the wrist from a dollar standpoint. And a lot of people will point to, he didn't play last season, that's time served. Well, he got paid the entire year. So he's still today, other than like court of public opinion, he's suffered no consequences from this. And by every single account, there were actions that deserve some modicum of punishment. So I think there is a lot of people with power in the NFL who would like to see a meaningful suspension here. And if it ends up being more than people expect, I won't be surprised. And so, the likelihood that the Browns ought to be the short shot, I think, is not correct. Yeah. I think surely the Ravens and the Bengals are on equal footing, if not a little bit ahead of the Browns because of that fact.
Feels 6 weeks-ish to me in terms of suspension, in terms of the going rate, at least the history of Roger Goodell in these situations. One last thing before we go to break. Matt Ryan to the Colts. It's really a two-headed monster in that division. Some might argue the Jaguars have a shot. I wouldn't. But if you believe that it's a Colts-Titans two-headed monster, does the Ryan acquisition put the Colts over the Titans to you? The betting market still says the Titans are a very slim favorite in that division. Short a shot, plus 115 versus plus 125 on the Colts.
Yeah, I think the Colts are a little bit better than the Titans, but I think also both of these teams are going to be fighting for 9-8 to win and get the 4 seed and not really move the needle for me.
Yeah, that's what I thought your reaction would be. We'll come back, NBA and tennis. See what Drew's doing in Miami. Coming back on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay. I love Walker Hayes. He's amazing. He's so fun. Such a great entertainer. And that's why I'm so excited that JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited time men's collection for the everyday guy. The Walker Hayes for JCPenney collection is an upbeat playlist of instant classics with laid back appeal and down home vibes. As a dad of 7 kids, he knows exactly what fathers want and need when it comes to their style. This collection reflects his casually cool styles with outdoor-inspired details and versatile colors. Perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th, just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. What are you waiting for if you haven't done it yet? BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip. With your state-issued ID to open an account, start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. It's Gil Alexander. Jeff Parlay is here as well. And Jeff, you were just saying off air, not really understanding, you know, why the Colts would go with Matt Ryan. I think the only conclusion, they're not sold on Baker Mayfield. They probably think this draft of quarterbacks stinks in terms of being really viable long-term starters. And so Matt Ryan's a great sort of stopgap measure to get them through next year into the next. And by the way, as you said, he won't get hurt. He'll give you a good run at it. Six straight years they've had a different starting quarterback. Well, seven if you go back to like at Andrew Luck the year before Scott Tolzien and then back to Andrew Luck. But it's really six different guys in six different years. As the Colts just try to find a solution at quarterback. We'll see. We'll see if it works out with Matt Ryan. Certainly they can. Certainly that division is theirs to take. By the way, we will have Mike Sando on the show on Thursday. Mike Sando, along with Jason Jenks, wrote the piece on Urban Meyer at The Athletic, which is just that's revealing. Everything we thought we knew about how disastrous Urban Meyer's stay was with the Jacksonville Jaguars, even worse than that. So many stories. So we'll get to Mike Sando on Thursday. Drew Dinsick joins us once again. Drew, I about 3-4 weeks ago on this show. So, and by the way, when I brought it up, Jeff was sort of like, I don't buy into this. And now I hear everybody saying it, which is the whole thing about how I felt. I was like, people are going to have to jockey for position in the Eastern Conference to work their way around the Brooklyn Nets, right? Then I hear Bill Simmons talking about it. I hear everybody else talking about it. No one loves a good tank or a good angle more than I do. So we were talking about it a long time ago. But I'm seeing the Boston Celtics, right? It feels to me like they wouldn't care who they played at this point. Obviously, with the Celtics and the Bucks and the Sixers all bunched up there right now, 2-3-4, percentage points just separating them. Might it be that the Celtics wouldn't care at all? By the way, it's going to be really precarious because the teams are so close that you can't really jockey until, forget the last week, till the last weekend of the season if you were inclined to do so.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't think jockeying is in this. I mean, it seems like the Celtics are playing and, you know, operating under the, if we end up as the 2 seed and face the Nets in the 2-7, we don't care. And I don't blame them. I think they match up well against the Nets, particularly if it is a round 1 series and Kyrie Irving is still, you know, a question mark to be able to be available in the Brooklyn games. And in general, you know, we're what, 2 weeks removed from a Sunday night game where Brooklyn was basically at full strength against the Celtics and they closed 6-point dogs in the Garden. Mm-hmm. And I think the market has the market has upgraded the Nets substantially since then, surely. And correctly, like the Nets with KD kind of getting his legs under him and Kyrie going nuclear when he's been available are a dangerous team. But Brooklyn does not match up well against Boston, really, in a lot of ways. And so I don't blame Boston for having that mentality. But I also would flip, you know, turn the coin and say that Boston's hopes of ultimately getting to a finals are matchup dependent because I don't love the way that they match up against the likes of Miami or Milwaukee. Miami certainly has a couple of coaching wrinkles that have made it very tough for Boston to get out of a best of seven series. And in general, when you think about how you handicap a playoff series, a ton of it is, can this team sort of quote unquote solve their opponent? And what we saw the last time Miami and Boston faced off in a best of seven series, granted this was in the bubble, granted Boston was kind of coming apart at the seams a bit after some tough early losses in that one. But Miami employed a zone defensive strategy that completely flummoxed Boston in the half court. And I still have yet to see, you know, there's been a number of teams who have decided to employ that against Boston since then. And, you know, as great an offensive player as Tatum is, you know, as great a complimentary player as Jaylen Brown is, that is still something that they haven't proven that they can solve in a best of seven series. And so if they run up against Miami, a Miami team that is relatively complete, relatively deep, and is very well coached, I still have questions about how easily they will be able to emerge from that series, particularly if Miami looks likely to have home court advantage.
Such a great point, man. Such a great point. By the way, we look at the Eastern Conference futures, the Nets, who will be in a play-in situation are the short shot still at plus 270.
Unbelievable.
And Mike Adams about the Celtics saying, you know, he had a tweet where he said, not saying the Celtics are going to win the NBA title, but he pointed out that the best scoring margins in the NBA between games 51 and 72, which is right about where we are right now, in the history of the NBA, the Celtics have this version of the Celtics have the second best, and teams 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 on that list all went on to win the NBA title, by the way. But it's such a great point you make.
So I've been betting the Celtics a lot lately. We were way ahead of this. So I'm not I'm not saying this in the I missed the boat, and so I'm somewhat hindsight annoyed by this, because we were, you know, very, very aware of how amazing the Celtics are. They happen to be very, very healthy through that stretch, and they happen to have figured out exactly who their kind of playoff eight-man rotation was and deployed that rotation pretty consistently. It is underrated in terms of kind of longish time frame team success, how valuable consistency is. And the Celtics have had a very, very consistent run of availability from the best players, and they have the best closing five, like, period. All that said, like, in the same breath that Miami presents a coaching mismatch, Milwaukee presents a one-on-one mismatch that may be their undoing as well. To this day, we have yet to see the Celtics really come up with a way to stop Giannis, and Giannis's offensive, his offensive contributions to, you know, in the current form of the Milwaukee Bucks have been pretty unstoppable. And as great a team defense as the Celtics have, Milwaukee's going to be at full strength now with Brook Lopez coming back defensively. And I think they present a very challenging mismatch as well. So I think currently the market has correctly priced the Celtics as sort of the third choice in the Eastern Conference. I personally see the Sixers as sort of an afterthought at this point, particularly the way that they are coming together down the stretch. And then similarly, Brooklyn, if you want to get involved with the Brooklyn Nets, bet them round by round. Like, forget about their futures price. Yep. That is obscenely short. And the Brooklyn's going to have to do it themselves. Like, they are literally going to have to eliminate three of the other four contenders to get to the finals. So the Brooklyn Nets, if you feel like betting them, you're going to get advantage price. You know, you're going to get something like an 8-to-1-ish rollover if you just hit them series by series through their three series because of who they're going to have to face. As we currently sit, if I had to make, you know, go to war with some team to win the East, I'm probably going Bucks. But it's still very, very flat.
Yeah, it's the very first thing we said before, at least we said on this show before the NBA season began. Aren't the Bucks still too long, having just won the NBA championship? Yeah. And it's sort of still they're still there.
They've come in a lot.
They were 9-1 to win it all, I believe.
Yeah. It was a big number to start the season. Yeah. It did not make a ton of sense.
Which in the NBA,
Suns were 20-1.
You never see that in the NBA, right? You never in the history of the NBA that the teams that are in the championship, and obviously there were reasons for that with injuries all across the league last year, but you never see that. It's sort of a historical anomaly. And yet here both teams are. Suns clearly the best team in the NBA this year, even without Chris Paul. They've maintained it, and the Bucks just sitting there the whole time with Giannis ready to go. And there's only four games in the league tonight in the association. Any plays tonight?
I think you're catching a little bit of a market overreaction on Chicago right now. Chicago is, of course, on a back-to-back. They're in a tough stretch. They have not played well since the All-Star break. That one opened 5.5. It's been bet out to 7.5, largely because of the rest situation. I think that's a little bit short-sighted because Chicago is getting healthy and some of the key players haven't been getting full loads. So they have they have fresher legs than the market thinks. And I'll probably, if I had to make one play in the NBA tonight, it would be Chicago at 7.5.
Okay, can we flash those awards graphics up one more time? I'm curious if you have any play here. Just a brief glance at Defensive Player of the Year, Rookie of the Year, and MVP. Anything there on the screen? Bam is now your short shot for Defensive Player of the Year. Where you could really give that to Gobert and Giannis every single year, right?
Yeah, and I think that's largely why Bam is the favorite now, is because there's clearly going to be voter fatigue for those two guys. And on top of that, if you look at team defense, you know, the way that the defensive award typically gets voted on is people will look for which team had the best defense and then who's the best defender on that team. And Bam does stand out in that regard because he's not really at the top of any of the counting stats. And he's campaigning very, very effectively.
He is.
Campaigning very, that's very right. effectively.
And he does have a campaign going on.
Holding a little 100-1 on Bam, by the way.
So I'm still waiting.
Wouldn't mind seeing him hoist that trophy. But I think the MVP market is dead on the money.
You do. You think Embiid should be the favorite over Jokic?
Yeah, I think you look at the Nuggets right now in the seventh seed. If he's in the play-in, they're not going to vote for him.
You want to talk tennis after the break for a couple minutes, Drew?
Of course.
We'll do that next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The KFC chicken sandwich is served hot and straight from the fryer. Hot and straight out the kitchen, morning, morning, everybody. Oh, sorry. That's why it's finger-licking good. Order the KFC chicken sandwich today. Look at that thing. Look at how good that is. Drew, that's what happens when they say served hot and straight from the fryer. That kind of thing happens in my head. Are we still allowed to sing?
Look, all I know is if I'm a fast food company, you're getting the next call to promote my products.
Appreciate it. Thanks so much. Are we still allowed to sing his songs, by the way? Are we still allowed? Is that permitted?
Not. Probably not. Probably not. No one really picked up on that.
No, it's just me.
That's just out of the reach of the audience.
Let me go back before we get to tennis. Let's go back to these awards for a second because these are kind of fascinating. So Defensive Player of the Year, we were just saying, Bam is... He has this great campaign. I would say, I'm waiting for the day where Cameron Payne has a campaign, so we can call it the campaign on one of these. But Bam is the short shot plus 105. Chris Felica, texting right now. He has a really long shot ticket on Jackson. Like, big time number. You don't think he has a shot, talking about Jaren Jackson Jr.
No, I think there are only a couple of paths to getting consideration here. You either need sort of the overwhelming support from the basketball nerd community, or you need some eye-popping counting stats, or you need to be clearly the best defensive player on the best defensive team. And I don't know that he checks any of those boxes, even though he has made he is the clear most improved defensive player this year. And I don't think it's even a good discussion. Just the fact that a guy like Mikal Bridges is in the top four is a problem for Jaren Jackson Jr. because Mikal Bridges, he was a great defensive piece for the Suns over the first 30 games, but his defense has completely crumbled. And the fact that he is still getting consideration just speaks to the fact that there are some folks in the basketball nerd community who remember the beginning part of the season and what an impressive impact he had in those games. Jaren Jackson Jr. fading is not a great sign for his candidacy. He had a stretch about eight games in the middle of the season where he was getting like six blocks a night, it felt like, and they were all making SportsCenter highlights. And if he could finish with that same flurry, then he's back in the conversation. But right now it looks like Bam's to lose unless somehow, some way the Jazz get into the top five defensively, in which case they may just give it to Rudy again.
I love the basketball nerd community. He's like John Hollinger, the overlord of the basketball nerd community.
He's the OG, but I don't know that he's the overlord anymore.
Okay, all right. New overlord. Back to the MVP for a second. You like Joel Embiid. You were saying if Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets end up in a play-in. But, don't we have a second thought on that? If I could just push back on that a little. Don't we have a second thought where it's like, well, yeah, but he didn't have his second or third best players with him all year long? People aren't going to, think about that when they vote?
Yeah, so we're having two different conversations because who is the most important, most valuable player in the NBA? It is Nikola Jokic with a bullet. I don't think that is really up for debate. But will he get the award? And what should we bet on in the MVP market is a different conversation. There is a hesitancy to give players back-to-back MVPs unless they are going to be, unless they are the best player in the NBA, without question. And I think there are other people who would say, well, no, I mean, you still have Giannis and KD and LeBron's still, a big deal. And, so giving Jokic back-to-back awards is going to take a very special campaign. the fact that team wins tend to matter is what really the only thing that hurts his candidacy, because his offensive game, he's the best offensive player in the NBA, and it's not close. His defense has taken a meaningful step forward this season compared to what we've seen in years past. But the Nuggets have slipped to kind of fringe playoff consideration, and that's a problem. The fact that they were a 3 seed last year when he got the MVP, and this year they're going to be a 6 or a 7, is enough of a reason for people to pass on him. On top of the fact that Embiid is well loved, what stopped him from getting it last year was not availability, and he solved that this year.
And he's awesome. No one's gonna cry about it if it's exactly.
Yeah. No one's gonna cry about it. Yeah. That's a huge element of this. No one's gonna get mean tweets.
No.
For voting. For
no,
him.
I'm saying it won't be like this massive injustice, right?
No, 100%.
And last thing, 100%. And we don't have to belabor this one, but rookie of the year, like again, 3-4 weeks ago on this show, I'm like, how is Evan Mobley -750? Right, and Scotty Barnes and Cade Cunningham at the time were 8-1 and 9-1, and I was starting to make the case for Cade Cunningham at that number. Now it's drifted a little bit towards that, but like not hugely. Mobley's still -450. Cade is 5-1. Scotty Barnes is +550. Is the runway too short for Cade Cunningham and Scotty Barnes at this point?
I think so. Almost, and certainly the Mobley coming down in price is only because the Cavaliers suffered a bunch of injuries, lost a bunch of games, and people were like, oh, well, Mobley's hitting the rookie wall. So it's, if he's hitting the rookie wall, then can we even give him rookie of the year, even though he's been one of the most impactful players in the entire, added to the Eastern Conference this year? So, no, I realistically, when the chips settle, it'll be Evan Mobley. But, I understand a bit why it's shorting. That said, Cavaliers, I don't think we're getting Jared Allen back, so the defense is not going to be as good down the stretch. But, Mobley's contributions shouldn't be understated. He has been absolutely unbelievable for them this year.
All right, tennis. Miami Open. On the heels of Indian Wells, tennis's de facto fifth major, ATP Masters and WTA 1000 events, won respectively by Taylor Fritz and Iga Świątek.
Who would have ever seen that coming?
Who would have ever seen that coming? I hope people listen to the Beating the Book podcast and our preview with Dan Weston, where we talked about Taylor Fritz. We certainly talked about Iga, and looky, that happened. Yeah. It actually happened. By the way, the Fritz Nadal thing, the drama on both sides with the injuries was just tremendous. So we're in Miami. Are you betting individual matches? Have you bet any ladies matches today? And do you have thoughts on the futures, on the outrights for either men's or ladies?
I think my general thought is I'm glad we did the standalone pod for Indian Wells and not Miami.
Yes.
This is much, much, much harder. There was clear imbalance that helped kind of shape my thoughts and sort of position taking for Indian Wells. That's not the case here. It's pretty evenly spread out in terms of strength across the brackets. Slight on the women's side, the bottom half, Iga's half is a little bit harder. In general, Miami is a tough is a little bit more chaotic in terms of who emerges to ultimately potentially win the title, because a lot of the best players who just went through and performed admirably at Indian Wells, like that's a grind. It's a 2-week event. It's very, very challenging. You play you play some very high level tennis, and it tends to take a physical toll. So a lot of players come into this a little bit beaten up. Like I wouldn't run to the window and back Alcaraz, for instance, at 6-1. Alcaraz went off, by the way, Indian Wells at like 25-1. And so the fact that he's 6-1 now, when the only difference is that Nadal is not in the field, is pretty impressive in terms of market respect. So if you haven't already extracted some value out of the emergence of Carlos Alcaraz, I think the ship has sailed on that. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's underwhelming here, just on the basis of what a toll that took on him. Now, that said, is he the second best player on tour right now? I would say so. That match between him and Nadal was an absolute all-time classic.
Gem.
I don't know that I've ever enjoyed watching tennis as much in the last 10 years. It was so much fun to watch that match.
It was the only good thing about the nonsense schedule of college basketball, that we were sort of able to really soak in tennis. You and I were texting during, I'm sure the rest of the world was watching college games. We were like, this is the greatest thing happening in sports right now. It was just incredible, those matches.
It was great. And that said, I'm excited to see how Alcaraz performs, particularly through this clay swing, particularly because it looks like Nadal's not going to be 100% fit until we get into the later stages of the clay swing. So Alcaraz could truly like take this tour by storm and like secure like a top four-ish type of ranking if he can win a couple of titles. Say maybe what, Monte Carlo, Barcelona, why not? Like if Nadal's not there, if he's not 100%, Carlos Alcaraz could absolutely take the tour by storm. That said, I think he's not fairly priced at 6'10". If I'm going to, and I don't, honestly, like you should be looking down the board for some shots here at Miami on the men's side. I am looking for like a 50 to 1 ish on a guy like Jensen Brooksby. He's a player that I think is going to, you know, really help elevate American men's tennis over the balance of this season. He emerged a little bit at the U.S. Open last year, making it to the fourth round. And he has the type of game and the type of draw that I think he could be a problem for a couple of the seeded players here. So Brooksby at 50 to 1 would be a fun play on the men's side. And then on the women's side, Kontaveit is, I think, a little bit short. Favorably priced at 12 to 1. I think she should be more like in the 8 to 1 range. I think her section of the draw looks winnable. And if some of the other folks like the Igas of the world and, you know, and some of the other, you know, the Sabalenkas, if they go by the wayside, then Kontaveit may find a relatively soft path once we get to the quarterfinals.
That's a pretty good call. She was unbelievably dominant in the indoor hard court season at the end of last year and was just winning match after match. And then Iga literally made her cry in the finals when she went down the last time. I couldn't help myself. I took little Iga, and I know the
Couldn't help myself.
All
right.
Thank you, Drew. I appreciate it. I got my ladies' picks coming up after the break. Thank you so much.
All right, best of luck.
Drew Dinsick, everybody, at @whale_capper. A trio of picks on the other side, and Dan Bespris on the NBA next.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Okay. I love Walker Hayes. He's amazing. He's so fun, such a great entertainer. And that's why I'm so excited that JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited time men's collection for the everyday guy. The Walker Hayes for JCPenney collection is an upbeat playlist of instant classics with laid back appeal and down home vibes. As a dad of seven kids, he knows exactly what fathers want and need when it comes to their style. This collection reflects his casually cool styles with outdoor-inspired details and versatile colors. Perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th, just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Oh, there's that Kaley Cuoco commercial. Distract me again. Bet on more than the final score with One Game Parlay at BetMGM. One Game Parlay is designed to help you make selections within a single game from over 400 bet types, including team and player props. Log into your BetMGM account and create your best parlay before the game starts. New to BetMGM, sign up today and make your first bet risk-free up to $1,000 with bonus code VSIN1000. Plus, you learn BetMGM rewards points that can be redeemed for online bonuses or converted into comps for rooms, restaurants, and more at over 20 MGM resorts nationwide. Try One Game Parlay today. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Nevada and Mississippi. One Game Parlay not available in Washington, D.C., home of the three-time Super Bowl champion Washington football team. That's not there. I just added that. Skill Alexander, Jeff Parlay is here as well. Hey, Jeff, want to throw up some tennis picks? Jeff is very excited. Here are my three tennis picks. Now, here's the thing. I bet these last night, and I think we're well ahead of a couple of them. So Heather Watson begins in about 15 minutes. Heather Watson against Arantxa Rus. I got Heather Watson last night at plus 115. Looking at this number here now, and Heather Watson is off the board. Why is Heather Watson off the board? Let's see if that changed. Oh, yeah, it's back on. No, you can still get it. You actually could get her at a better price here at plus 120. So you can get Heather Watson at a nice price, plus 120 against Arantxa Rus. Elena Gabriel Ruse, I got at plus 105. So this is going to be confusing to people. So we're on Watson in the first one. We're on Elena Gabriela Ruse in the second one against Kanya. So we have Ruse at plus 105. That's a Ruse, R-U-S-E. You won't be able to find her at quite that price. She's now minus 109, kind of a coin flip now. Don't play her any worse than that. And then I do have Beatriz Haddad Maia, the Brazilian player, against Nuria Parisas Diaz, Spanish player. You can get that right around the same price. I got it at minus 128. It's only a couple pennies worse than that now. So Watson, Ruse with an E, and Haddad Maia, your three tennis picks in Miami, which used to be the greatest tournament ever. Used to really try to be the fifth major when it was in Key Biscayne. And now it's in Miami proper near Hard Rock Stadium. Because there's one dude, Jeff, one dude whose family, going back generations, like deeded land to the city of Miami. And in the deal, this is like in the 1940s, and in the deal, his family got to determine, though, what Miami got to do with the land that they gave to them. And one of the things about this guy, he hates pro sports. So he, like, wouldn't let them do stadium improvements in Key Biscayne. He tried to prevent David Beckham Stadium in Miami. One guy, one dude whose family, like, controlled all this land in Miami, messing around with pro sports in that great city. Dan Bespris joins us, ladies and gentlemen. The greatest audio in the biz from SportsEthos.com. How you doing, Dano?
Good morning, Gil. I'm actually not bad. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. You sound very surprised that you're not bad.
Yeah, I don't know. I've always complained about something.
Let me just say this. It's kind of in your DNA. What was it? How long ago was it? 6 weeks ago? We don't even know anymore. When you came on here and you made the outlandish comment that you were like, Boston Celtics, 25-1 to win the Atlantic Division. I would play that. Not a dead heat tie. Percentage points behind the Philadelphia 76ers. That is all. Look at you, man.
Yeah. Every once in a while, what's the a broken clock or a squirrel finding a nut or whatever that thing is. Celtics have been very good.
Dog in the sunshine. Yeah,
that's right. Exactly.
Right.
See, and I'm going to celebrate it until the whole thing is all over. They haven't won it yet. Things look pretty good. You caught me at kind of an angry moment about that bet because Philly rested Harden and Embiid and beat the Heat last night.
Yes, they did.
Celtics had the Thunder in a walkthrough game. And I thought, you know what, at the end of Monday, we may actually be up on this thing. And the Heat biffed it. But yeah, they're, biffed. You know, percentage points. So
Tyrese Maxey, man, 28 points. And he was unbelievable in the fourth quarter last night.
Yeah, but if he keeps us from winning a 25-1 bet, I'll never forgive him.
Yeah, there's that. There's that. We were talking earlier about all these awards, and I'm just curious with you. Do you think at this point that MVP, and I'll just go with the favorites again, MVP, Embiid is the favorite, and you know Jokic is still in plus money as the Nuggets flounder in a play-in situation. Bam is now your short shot for Defensive Player of the Year. Evan Mobley still remains the prohibitive favorite, although not quite as high as he used to be for Rookie of the Year. Do you believe all of that will manifest, that it's those three guys that are going to win those respectively, or do you really believe there's another bet on the board?
It's more or less locked in. I'll admit, I don't have a great feel for Defensive Player of the Year right now, and Bam surprises me because he's only played in 47 games to this point. He missed about 2 months repairing his elbow earlier this season, and he really wasn't, frankly, very good before that. He's been awesome since coming back, and the Heat, you know, having the best record in the Eastern Conference, that doesn't hurt him. That one surprised me a little bit. So, yeah, maybe there's a little bit of wiggle room on the Bam side. I could see them maybe going back to Gobert. Giannis at plus 700, he's been great. I'm a little surprised not to see Jaren Jackson Jr. on any kind of short list there, but you know, apparently that just isn't getting enough love. So
he's right around where Bridges is at 16-1 on Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah. That one I don't have a great feel for. I really don't. There isn't, like, if Draymond had stayed healthy the entire year, might have been a good story. But
it's always fascinating with this too, from year to year, right? We said the same thing with LaMelo Ball, right? Remember when he was hurt? You know, he played 41 games. We're like, well, if he doesn't play again, is that enough games to win a Rookie of the Year? And then he came back, and that was sort of moot. And Cade Cunningham's stats are almost exactly like LaMelo Ball's last year, and we don't even talk about him at all because apparently Evan Mobley is just slam dunk Rookie of the Year. And I'm like, really? Like, we're that off on that? Because we were gushing over LaMelo last year, right? Like, oh, he's clearly the Rookie of the Year. My God, how could we even debate this?
Yeah, I don't think the Rookie of the Year is necessarily locked in either. Mobley getting off to as an amazing start as he did really pushed him to this level, and he has had a great rookie season. But I don't know. You could see if Cade went completely bananas the last 3 weeks here, that could shift a little bit. That's probably the one you could consider because there is the ability for him to, you know, what if he has 3 or 4 games where he scores 30 points or 8 assists or something like that? It just doesn't seem like it's about to happen yet. We just haven't seen that it's right on the cusp. So I don't know that I feel like it's coming, but at, 5-1 at +500, it's not a terrible look either. And you know me, Gil, I still think Nikola Jokic is the MVP. I don't think it's going to go to him, but I still think he is the MVP.
100% the best player, 100%. But like I said before, no one's going to go crazy if Embiid wins it. All right, rapid fire. And here are your teams. Heat, Sixers, Bucks, Celtics, Bulls. Who's the team that gets knocked out in the first round of the playoffs?
It's Bulls. Sorry, Bulls fans. They have not been good against the better teams in the East. I still feel like some of what we saw earlier this season was them. It's something I call Tom Thibodeau-itis, and I know he's not their coach anymore, but they were just playing harder than everyone else for a while. And Gil, we've talked a million times about how most teams in the NBA are cruising at about 75% most of the year. Mm-hmm. So if you have a team that's going at 90%, they're going to beat the 75%ers just because they tried harder. You're starting to see that level off energy-wise, health-wise, things like that have kind of caught up with them. And again, they just haven't been good against the best teams. They haven't been able to get over that hump. So until I see them do it, I'm not going to believe that they can.
Western Conference, 5 seeds and lower. Mavs, Nuggets, T-Wolves, Clippers, Lakers, Pels. Who's the team that actually gets to the second round, or do none of them?
Ooh, I feel like Mavs is the easy choice there, but I actually like 5, 6, and 7 as possible teams to get through the first round. T-Wolves are a different bunch this year. They're going to have a little bit of that playoff stuff, so I'm not going to say they're getting through the first round. And
to get through the first round, which means some combination of Suns, Warriors, right, Jazz, and Grizzlies has to lose.
And play in, and a play-in spot. So there's a little bit to clear there. That one's too far for me to go.
Okay.
I can see the Mavs and the Nuggets potentially getting through, so that wouldn't surprise me at all. Steph Curry's health is going to be hanging in the balance on this. Give me the Mavs and the Nugs to get through. This is me saying I think one of the Nuggets' injured stars comes back.
Yes, that makes sense.
And will step through the first round. Yeah. So give me 5 and 6 to get through.
Yeah, that'll game the answer to that question for sure. All right, 4 games tonight in the NBA. Do you have a play that will make us hurl?
I think I may have cheated the answer to that last question, but I don't feel bad about it. I'm really trying to figure out a way to get on the Hawks, but with Randall being ruled out, the line at -3 on the road is a little bit iffy. Knicks have won all 3 of the matchups this year between these two teams. It's really hard to season sweep a team that's kind of close to you in terms of overall skill and ability. So I like the Hawks a little bit, but not so much laying 3 on the road. And Clippers, mostly because of rest. They've been off since I think the end of February, if I'm tracking my calendar right. They're in a stretch of 2 games in 10 days. This is a great opportunity for them to actually just, again, we talk about play a little bit harder, have a little bit more in the tank. Clippers, again, the line thing, it's coming down 6.5 on the road. I'd love a little bit more. Kind of like the
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.